Okay, so I'm Raviv Reich, and I'd like to first of all thank the two co-authors of this paper, Behrouz Bemardi, who's my student who's back at Oregon, and Alfred Giras here in the audience. So in this talk, what we'll do is we'll cover the definition of entropy and maximum entropy methods, and we'll show alternative methods to what we're going to present here in terms of entropy estimation. And then we will show how the principle of maximum entropy can be applied to performing approximations that could potentially, or that we could show with high probability that will converge to the true entropy. So what this paper is about two entropy estimators and their performance in terms of convergence. So, as everybody knows, the entropy for a continuous random variable, or the differential entropy, can be written as negative of the expected value of log of the probability density function. And the problem that we have is simple. We have n samples from P of X, from that PDF, and the goal is to estimate H of P. And of course, there are a couple of issues. First is it's non-parametric, so we have no idea what the family of distributions P belong to, as well as this is estimation. So to some extent, we don't have a parametric capabilities in terms of approximation. And the other aspect is we're estimating based on samples, and of course, resampling n different samples will give you different values, and potentially due to the sampling issues, we're going to have a sampling error. So generally, the entropy estimation has been applied in a variety of applications. Probably in this conference alone, all of these have been presented throughout the years, especially also in this year. Image analysis, anomaly detection, and source separation. I don't want to go too deep into how entropy is applied in these methods. As you'll see soon, this paper is very focused on how to estimate entropy. So, existing methods in entropy estimation, one of the classical methods is called the plug-in method, where the expectation is simply replaced by an average. And so basically, and the density P is being replaced by some plug-in density estimate. So for example, one can think of using a kernel density estimate to estimate P, and then using an average over the number of points average over the number of samples in order to get an approximation for the expectation. Another alternative method looks at, this is more applicable in 1D, which is sample spacing. So basically, how to use the distribution of the differences between nearest samples in order to approximate the density. And the nearest neighbor methods by Kozachenko and Leonenko presented basically one nearest neighbor method for estimating the entropy, and in their work they show convergence results of that estimate to the true entropy. Of course, another method is the histogram approach, but I'll quickly skip through that. So what is the idea that we're presenting here? The idea is the following. First of all, we're going to apply maximum entropy principle to estimate the entropy, and so the maximum entropy principle works in the following way. So the problem is that we want to estimate, in most methods, P is estimated non-parametrically, and here we're thinking, is it possible for us to estimate it in a parametric way? So the approach was like that. Suppose that you have m basis function, phi 1 through phi m, and those could be, you take your data, you apply. For example, a basis function could be sum all the samples or sum all the square values of the samples. And so by taking the expected value of these moments or these phi functions and setting it to the values that you measured from the data, you can set a constraints on the distribution. In other words, you'd like a distribution, for example, with a mean value of the average as found through the data. Or you'd like a distribution with maybe a variance as the variance sample from the data. But in general, those could be very different functions. And so the argument is, of course, if you set the optimization, the principle of maximum entropy, to maximize the entropy subject to these constraints, of course, the sum to one constraint on the distribution, you end up with the well-known maximum entropy model, which is the exponential model, e to the summation of lambda I, lambda j phi j, minus a constant, basically, constant in terms of x. And so the idea here is we want to be able to use this density estimate. As with other plug-in methods, we have now a method for finding a density, and we want to use this density as part of our entropy. Now, what is the advantage of this method? So the first advantage is that when you have a parametric entropy, you could potentially integrate and find, you have a parametric representation of the density, you could potentially integrate the log and end up finding the entropy in closed form, in which case, up to an unknown integral, z of lambda, we have the entropy in closed form. And the difference between this approach and many other methods is that most methods focus on local estimate of the density. So, for example, estimating the density based on a very small neighborhood. In this case, you can argue that the basis functions don't have to be localized, and you can then use global functions to estimate the entropy. And so what's the advantage in this method? That if we look at the KL divergence between P and P lambda, that approximation of P, we can always show that the entropy is upper bounded by the estimate that we're proposing. So that's to some extent is good news. So we know we'll never estimate the entropy with a smaller number than the true entropy. And then the question, of course, well, maybe this upper bound is not very tight. So how can we verify that this upper bound is tight? And so in order to show that this approximation that was presented in the previous slide for the density can produce very tight estimates for the entropy, we consider the following theorem. So through Stone-Weierstrass theorem, we can approximate functions with uniformly with a given accuracy using polynomials. That's one of the original papers, and then later on there are some generalizations of that. And so the idea here is that we're going to think of the approximation that the maximum entropy framework has given us as approximation of the log of the log of the probability density function rather than the probability density function. So if you look at a lot of the estimates, they go directly at estimating the density, the probability density function. In this case, we're going at estimating the log of the probability. And as you can see, basically, one can think of representing precisely the log of the probability as the integral of phi theta x lambda theta, and the measure of theta is given here. And basically, we can view the approximation, the maximum entropy is given us, as a discretized version of this integral, basically using basis functions or basically using point mass instead of this measure to approximate p. And so that's the idea. And the argument is that through Stone-Weierstrass theorem, you know that this approximation converges uniformly to log p. And so that's the motivation behind using maximum entropy. So the two estimators that we propose based on that is the brute force estimator, and the next one I'll present soon is the M-term approximation. So with the brute force approximator, the idea is as follows. You're basically considering the values of lambda and theta. Basically, you're basically selecting jointly the basis functions phis as well as the coefficients along those phis such that they minimize the entropy. And so, of course, the optimization with respect to lambda is convex, but with respect to theta is not. And so that creates an intractable optimization problem. However, this approach at least gives us we can evaluate this approach, and this approach gives us an upper bound on performance. And so we can compare other methods, the second method we present, to the performance for this method. So in the paper, we present a theorem that describes the accuracy of the method. And without going through the details of the theorem or the derivation, the idea here is that the error can be broken into an approximation error component and an estimation error component. And the approximation error component in this particular theorem is obtained from a paper by Andrew Barron, which basically suggests that maximum entropy framework can be used to approximate any distribution. But at the same time, we're considering the effect of sampling. And of course, using Hofding inequality, one can show that the estimation error is given by this term. And so when you set m to square root of n, you get the corollary, which says that the error with probability 1 minus delta is bounded by a term that is square root of log n over n, which is not too far from the classic parametric estimation error, which is 1 over square root of n. So this is quite encouraging to know that this method in principle could achieve this kind of accuracy. So the alternative we took to this method, which was primarily because this is fairly theoretical, the optimization is not tractable, and we wanted to get a method that achieves similar performance without having to approximate. And so the idea was to use greedy M-term estimator or greedy M-term or term approximation. And the idea is very simple. It's well known as, you know, basis pursuit or other methods in different fields. And the idea here is that you're constantly approximating log of p by adding one term, one basis function at a time. And so in this case, you start with 0, and of course, in step 1, you'll take g1 will be 1 minus alpha, the 0th approximation, plus a new basis function. And as you keep on going, you'll be adding basis functions. So after m iterations of the procedure, you'll get an m-term approximation. And this routine, as opposed to the previous one, only involves optimization, with respect to two parameter, a single theta and a single, basically equivalent of lambda at a time. So the procedure, for example, we took just to illustrate the idea. What you have to remember in this particular example, we have log p of x, and we're not approximating log p of x knowing log p of x. We're approximating log p of x from its samples. So the samples may not necessarily correspond well to this density function. And basically, by adding one term at a time, you're providing more accurate approximation to the function. And of course, in this case, I think we took 9 iterations. Yeah, and you can see how this is done from samples. You get sort of the flavor of the method. Now, if you look at the density, so one of the nice aspects of this method is not only do we estimate the entropy, but we also get a density estimate. One of the characteristics that we notice of this density estimate is often it presents this, call it a noise floor. Basically, it doesn't allow the density to drop very low in places where you don't have a lot of samples. This is, in many cases, an artifact, a problematic artifact of other methods. So for this method, we were able to show that the estimation error for the entropy using the greedy M-term estimator basically behaves again like a constant times square root of log n over n. Very similar performance. The constants, of course, are different, but the decay rate of the error is of the same kind as with the brute force estimator that optimizes all these parameters jointly. And so we tried this method and compared it with other estimators, the kernel density estimator, histogram, sample spacing, k-nearest neighbor, and our method. And as you can see, I mean, this was the first attempt to see how we can apply. And so with some of the simpler methods, our method is performing close to all others, but not particularly better than all of them. And we tried just to capture the flavor of the approximation by basically setting up a sample density, which is a truncated mixture of Gaussians, hoping that basically the basis approach for estimating the density will work better. And as we can see here, it seems to outperform all the other methods. So, of course, I'd like to say that these results are anecdotal because you can always pick a distribution where one method will outperform the others. But the point is to show that that the theorems basically are not incorrect, and we can actually get accurate estimates, or at least to verify. So another thing is we looked at application and the estimate that we get for log p. For the density, this was the mixture of the five Gaussians, seemed to be approximating the density for high values of the density and presenting a noise floor for low values of the density. In other words, there are not enough samples to approximate this density at these points. So we also tested it on a intruder detection data set provided by Alhero's lab, and we wanted to see whether this works on real data and whether we can use it for real data. And so we just compare basically the entropy against an indicator value that shows whenever there's an intruder. And so the idea here is that entropy can be used as a feature for detecting intruders, and basically whenever the entropy here is high, relatively speaking to, or relative to the other values of entropy, it correlates with the fact that there's an intruder there. And so we try to apply this method on the data, primarily to see that it works and that the method is fairly efficient computationally. So to summarize, we proposed the framework of maximum entropy estimation to estimate entropies. I think some of the added values that we get from this method is we also get density estimation. We showed that using the M-term approximation approach, we get an error that is order of square root of log n over n, which is only square root of log n away from the classical parametric estimation error, which is 1 over square root of n. We were able to show through simulation that the method is competitive with other nonparametric entropy estimators. And one of the motivations by starting to develop this is basically to extend this to density estimation. So use this method as a method for density estimation. And going beyond that, this method can be generalized also to estimating density in a family of densities. One can imagine, instead of having one data set corresponding to one density, you'll have m data sets. Each data set will correspond to a different density, and they all belong to the same family. And the hope is that this method will allow you to find the basis functions that describe the family. Questions?
I realize this is not the focus of the presentation, but could you comment on the choice of basis functions?
Oh, yeah. That's actually a very good question. So I think what makes this work in practice, so in this experiment, actually, we used polynomials and trigonometric functions. And so what happens is this idea that rather than choose from, I mean, in practice, we had to go with a finite basis. It was hard to evaluate over infinite. But what we did is we took a fairly large set of bases, and the idea here is that rather in this approximation method, rather than go one basis at a time, phi 1, phi 2, phi 3, and so on, you get to choose what's the best phi that approximates the data. So these are the bases. But for example, I've seen other presentation here at ICASP that consider basis functions, and some use PCA. You take the entire data that you have, you run PCA to obtain basis function, or Laplacian eigenmaps, or other techniques to obtain basis functions, and then you can apply this procedure to estimate the density using those basis functions.
And just actually a follow-up on that. I don't know if you are familiar. We have entropy, I mean, again, using maximum entropy principle, but just choosing the tightest bound. So using a number of measuring functions and estimating the parameters. Of course, using the parameters, you can, but you can also incorporate some prior information, whether it's bimodal, multimodal, and so on. So for ICA, for example, you don't really need to estimate the density very accurately.
Right.
So if you are close enough, so that's very much related.
So I will talk to you afterwards about this. So you can give me the reference. I think the key here, though, the focus is the greedy M-term approximations, which is rather than go for a fixed basis and estimate the coefficients for all the elements of the basis, you're basically, to some extent, looking at sparse decomposition along that basis.
Right. And also, exactly, how accurate do you want to be in the estimation? For ICA, it doesn't really make a big difference, for example.
Right.
So, and that also, the basis function or the measuring function, whatever we call that choice, that's something where we can incorporate prior information as well in the choice.
Thank you,
Tobey. I think we'll probably...
Okay.